All right. Last week, we opened this lesson up, and we mentioned by way of introduction and thinking and looking at this subject of striving together in prayer, we mentioned three things by way of introduction, not in the outline, but kind of introductory statements. We said, when we pray, when we strive together in prayer, number one, we are striving together with who? Do you remember? We're striving together with God. We're striving together with God. That's the first place we're striving in prayer. Second thing we said was we're striving together with those who we are praying with. This isn't in the outline per se. A few moments ago, maybe you prayed with your wife, maybe you prayed with a friend, a sister in the Lord, maybe you prayed by yourself, but we were all striving together in prayer for the requests that were mentioned and even some of the ones that weren't mentioned. So when we pray, we're striving together with God. We're striving together with those who we are praying with. Do you remember the third one? We're striving together with those we are praying for. Yeah, we're praying for. Some names were mentioned in prayer tonight of people that need to be saved, and some names were mentioned, people that need healing. Names were mentioned. And by the way, hey, God heals. God heals in 2021. Don't think that God isn't a healing God. And let's remember that. God is the great physician, Jehovah Rapha. He is the great healer. He's the great provider, and on it goes. And so the prayer of faith can heal the sick. And we believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's our God. And so striving together with those we're praying with and praying for. And then the first point in the outline was the strategic travels of Paul. Now, we didn't spend much time on this because we're already spending a lot of time on the travels of Paul on Sunday morning. And so really, we just gave the outline. Letter A, Paul planned to edify the converts in Rome. He planned to edify the converts in Rome. And letter B, he planned to evangelize the citizens of Spain. And we see that in Romans 15, 24. And then C, this is just review. We covered all this last week. Paul planned to encourage the Christians in Jerusalem, encourage the Christians in Jerusalem. And that's kind of where we've been on our Sunday morning series. Then number two, so the strategic travels of Paul. Point number two, we got about halfway through this one, the striving together in prayer. Point number two, the striving together in prayer. Let's look at verse 29. Romans 15 and verse 29. And it says there, "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit," notice, "that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Strive together in your prayers in your prayers to God for me. Striving together in prayer. And we talked about letter A, Paul had confidence in answered prayer. Paul had confidence in answered prayer. And by the way, this is how we support our missionaries. The greatest way we support our missionaries is not in our giving. That's a good part. That's a good thing. They need that. But the greatest support we have for our missionaries is just like Paul. And that's what Paul was. He was a missionary. He was on his final missionary journey. And he's saying, "I am so thankful," he says there in verse number 30, he says, "I beseech you, I beg of you." That's what that word beseech means, another word, another definition, another way to say that. I beg of you. And that ye strive together with me in prayer, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So he had confidence in answered prayer. We see that in verse 29. Notice he said, "I shall come. I shall come." Paul knew that he was going to make it to Rome. We learned this morning another reason why Paul learned that he was going to make it to Rome. If you go back, if you weren't at anchor this morning, go back and read Acts 23:11, and you're going to find out that the Holy Spirit, or that Jesus was standing with Paul, and he said, "Cheer up, Paul, you're going to get to Rome. You're going to get to Rome." And so he had that confidence in answered prayer. And we gave the illustration about the little girl that they prayed for rain, and in the morning, remember, it was the pastor, a Scottish pastor, and they prayed for rain, and they were getting ready to go back to church at night, and she grabbed an umbrella. It hadn't had rain in a long time. They didn't live in Vancouver, right? And so I grabbed an umbrella, and the pastor or father said, "What are you taking the umbrella for?" And she said, "Well, we prayed for rain. It's going to rain, right?" And sure enough, that night on their way home from church, it rained, and they had that umbrella, and they rejoiced in the goodness and grace and provision of Almighty God. Confidence in answered prayer. Letter B, Paul had a concern for fervency in prayer. We gave you this one last week. He had a concern for fervency in prayer. And we talked about that word strive in verse 30. The word strive. It talks, in a sense, when we think of striving, we also looked at Luke 11:8. And in Luke 11:8 is the word importunity. Importunity. And in a sense, these words between striving and the Apostle Paul and in the Lord Jesus, in using the word importunity in prayer, what do these words imply? What do these words tell us about prayer? Well, here's what they tell us. Prayer is hard work. You know that the disciples only asked Jesus to teach them to do one thing? And it wasn't preach. Jesus, teach us to preach. No, that's not what they asked. The one thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to do was pray. There's got to be a reason for that, right? That ought to sit, we ought to really meditate on that and think about that. There lies a source of strength, isn't it? The greatest source. That doesn't mean that we don't go and preach the gospel. The Bible tells us to do that. But there's something about an individual. Not everyone's going to be a preacher. Not everyone's going to be a pastor. Not everyone's going to be a missionary. And I'm not saying that they're up here and we're down here. No, that's not true. That's not the way it is. But everyone can be a prayer warrior. Everyone can bombard the gates of heaven or the throne of heaven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring those names of people that need to be saved and bring those names of people that need to be healed and bring those churches that need to have unity and bring everything to the Lord in prayer. And that's work, Jesus said, or Paul said, it's striving. You know, praying for something one time is great, but many times that doesn't get it done, does it? You got to pray a second time and a third time, and sometimes it's a second month and a second year and 10 years maybe even. But we don't give up. We shouldn't. I'm guilty of giving up. How about you? I'm guilty of maybe forgetting about praying for something because it just doesn't happen and it doesn't turn out the way I want to, but maybe God has already answered it. Like Virgiana said, maybe God said no. And that's okay too. But these words, importunity and strive, they tell us that prayer is downright hard work. It is not a mundane religious exercise. It is eternal work. Prayer is eternal work. Prayer is carrying the needs of our fellow man to the omnipotent God of the universe. Think about that. You can take the needs of your fellow man to anywhere you want to take them, but the greatest place you can take them to is to the omnipotent God of heaven. What does omnipotent mean? All-powerful. Potent means power. You can take those requests, and I can take those requests tonight to the omniscient God of heaven. He's all-knowing. I may pray for something, and you may pray for something a certain way, but God knows the best way. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. And we have to even ask God, "God, I really don't know how to pray about this, but I'm coming to you because I believe you are omniscient and you know how I should be praying about this." I mean, that's a privilege. That's a great responsibility. And so in knowing that, now we know why the devil tries to keep us from praying. Now we know why the devil tries to make it be about what we can do and how we can work it out and how we can kind of plan and connive and work and kind of put all the pieces together. And no, it's not about how we can do anything. That's why the devil wants to keep you and wants to keep me from being people and men and ladies of the Lord who pray without ceasing. Why? Because he knows that if you're a praying Christian and I'm a praying Christian, we're going to be a whole lot stronger. And it has nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with our connection to Almighty God. I would say tonight that in many cases, prayer is an untapped weapon in far too many Christians' lives. An untapped weapon, meaning it's not being used enough. I would encourage all of us here tonight, let's use this weapon of prayer. And not in a weapon of destroying, necessarily. It might be destroying the works of the flesh and works of the enemy, the devil. Use this weapon that God has given us for His glory. I think this is about where we left off last week. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. We may have looked at this last Sunday, but so looking at this thought tonight, prayer, Paul had a concern for fervency, fervency. We're going to finish that part of it and move on to the next one here in just a moment. But let's read this verse. You read it there to yourself, and I'll read it aloud. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12. Paul writing here, one of his prison epistles that we learned about this morning. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, and by the way, Epaphras is the founder of this church in Colossae. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Notice, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete. What are those words talking about? They're talking about maturity. You know, I want to be a mature Christian, not a holier-than-thou Christian. I want to be a mature Christian. I want to be able to handle the Word of God and the meat of the Word and the milk of the Word, all of it. I want to grow in grace. I hope you have that same prayer for your own life. And that's what Paul is saying, that Epaphras was praying for something. He was praying that all of the church in Colossae would be this way, that they would be growing, that they would be perfect and complete, and that they would all be in the will of God. Notice that. What greater thing could we pray for someone than that they be in the will of God? And that's what he was doing. His earnest prayers for the believers showed his deep love and concern for them. So, Paul had a concern for fervency in prayer. Letter C. We've talked about this a little bit tonight. Paul had a concept of teamwork. Teamwork in prayer. In verse 30, we see that Paul asked the Romans to join him in his work through their prayers. They were several hundred miles from where he was, but he said, "You can join me in the ministry." How? Through prayer. You can go with me as I preach the gospel in prayer. You can go with me as I go to this area or that area along the journey of life. You can do that through prayer. It's teamwork. They could join in his missionary efforts. Strive together with him in their prayers to God for him. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. There's special power in the unified prayers of God's people. Have you ever heard someone say about agreeing together? You ever heard someone say that? Well, if you've been around me, you've heard me say it a few times. Let's agree together with God. Well, I didn't come up with that. That's not original with me. That's in the Bible. Matthew chapter 18. Look what it says in verse 18, please. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth, there it is, agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The context of this two or three gathered together is what? It's prayer. I mean, we use it in a lot of different ways, and that's fine. But the primary application for that verse isn't really a gathering for a church meeting. It's a gathering for prayer. We can agree together in just two people, in just three people, and I don't mean that in a light way, just. But there's great power in that, in unifying our prayers together as a brother and a sister in Christ. This is the promise of God that we have in His Word, and may we claim that promise. So we have strategic travels of prayer. Number two, we have striving together in prayer. And then lastly, number three, we have the specific threefold plea. The specific threefold plea. As we go back to our text, Romans 15 and 31. Romans 15 and 31. We're going to read 31 and 32. Verse 31 says, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. We'll stop right there. He's going to give three requests. Three specific requests for the people of Rome to pray for him about. Pray for these, please, all right? You know, this was his prayer list. Letter A, Paul asked for protection from the enemy. Protection from the enemy. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Paul knew quite well about trouble that came from being a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul knew about imprisonment. We've learned that already. He knew about plots on his life, against his life, to kill him. He was stoned at Lystra. In fact, he was stoned at Lystra, and some people believe that he died at Lystra because the stoning was so bad. What an amazing miracle took place. I don't know if he died or not, but I know this, he was just about dead. And next thing you know, he gets up and he goes on and he's continuing on his journey. He knew all too well about the dangers that were accompanying him. He knew all too well what it meant to charge, if you will, to charge the gates of hell. You know, Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Amen? That's a promise. Matthew 16, 18. The church is not founded on any man. The church is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to charge the gates of hell? You know, you may have a picture in your mind. I don't know what picture you may have in your mind. I remember hearing that even as a child. And, you know, when you're a child, you have a very vivid imagination. And I take things literally. Don't you? You know. And I'm thinking about what hell looks like. And I'm thinking about charging the gates of hell. And I'm thinking, I don't want to do that. You know, when you're a kid, I'm talking about when you're a kid, you know. You hear the preacher talking about charging hell. That doesn't sound like a good thing. That's dangerous. Guess what? That's right. It is dangerous. It is dangerous to take the gospel and share it with somebody who's unsaved. You know why? Because Satan doesn't like it. It is dangerous to start praying together for someone that's not saved. These four men that we need to pray for, that they would, their hearts would be open to the truth and that they would get saved. That is dangerous work. But we have a great promise tonight. The Bible says that when we charge, and that's what it means that we're going to the gates of hell with the gospel of Jesus Christ and we're sharing it with the lost people. And the Bible says that it won't prevail. And it isn't about you and it isn't about me, but it's about the Holy Spirit of God and the power of the gospel. It is the power of gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. Let's not limit the power of Almighty God. Yes, there's a lot of evil in this world, but God is greater. And as we pray together, Paul said, I really need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for protection for the enemy. And oh, I tell you today, as Christians here, and we have our missionary list, oh, we need to be praying for our missionaries that God would protect them from the enemy. The enemy wants to kill and to destroy. That's his primary objective. And for those missionaries that are in different countries around the world, or even here in our great country of Canada, that's what the enemy's out to do. That's what the enemy wants to do to you. That's what the enemy wants to do to me. And Paul said, please pray for me for protection. Pray that I'll be delivered. Turn quickly, if you would, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. So his first request was protection from the enemy. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Just about getting this close to the end here. But let's let the Holy Spirit help us tonight in this. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. Okay, he's not talking about military stripes. He's talking about persecution. Being whipped, if you will. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. So he was. They had a law that you could not be whipped 40 times, so he got whipped 39 times, five times. Do the math. That's some heavy-duty persecution. He was beaten thrice with rods, three times. Once he was stoned, thrice suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And on it goes. Journeys and perils, weariness and painfulness, fastings, cold and nakedness. Paul said, hey, please pray for me. Pray for me to be protected from the enemy. Secondly, Paul asked for prayer for productivity in ministry. Verse 31, we go back to our text. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. That's letter A. Number two, that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. My service, my labor. Pray that my labor would be accepted. Pray that there would be productivity in ministry. How would his ministry be productive? It's the same way our service for God is productive today. We need God's power. We cannot come up with a formula. Okay, here's our formula. We're going to get these green bags and we're going to put 45 items in these green bags and we're going to take them out and we're going to win thousands of people to Christ. I'm not making fun of the bags. I'm just saying the power is not in the bag. The power is not even necessarily in the gospel track. No, the power comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And yes, we are the laborers, we are the arms, we are the hands, we are the feet. But Paul said, hey, pray that my time, pray that my effort, pray that my labor is not just wasting a waste of time. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to redeem the time. Because what? The days are evil. We need to use our time wisely. How are we going to do that? We've got to pray. God, help me to think about it. Your children are going to be in your home for X amount of years, however many years. I don't know the number, but it's X amount of years. It's a minimum normally of 18. It's sometimes more, sometimes less. God, how am I going to be the best parent? You know how you're going to be the best parent? You got to pray. We could look into this and we could take it even beyond ministry and church. The greatest ministry that you have as a parent is not the church. I'll submit to you the greatest ministry as a parent that you have is in your home. Is in your home. We need to be praying for all those kids downstairs. Don't tell them. Yeah, tell them. We've got to pray for them. We've got to pray for them. We want to pray that their precious lives, that these little kids up here in the nursery, they have no idea. I mean, it's just, you know, when I'm hungry, I'll let you know. Other than that, you know, just give me a toy. Pretty simple, right? They have no idea. That's why they've been put in our care. Because we know what they need. We know that even far beyond the physical nourishment of milk and of maybe some cereal or whatever, they need to know about the Lord. They need to hear the name Jesus over and over and over and over. They need to hear the songs playing in our homes over and over again. Praise of worship and praise to the Lord God. We've got to pray. God, please help me. I only have so much time. Paul is saying, hey, please pray for me that my labor is not in vain. God's power and blessings are needed in every generation. God's power and blessings are needed in every individual and every local church. Colossians 4:3, the Bible says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. You've heard people say that? Let's pray that God would open the door. That's where that comes from. It comes from right here in Colossians 4:3. That God would open the door for us, that we would be able to utter His word, that we would be able to preach His word. He asked the believers in Thessalonica to pray in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. We are so dependent on the Lord for an effective ministry. We must have His help. John 15:5 says, without Him we can do nothing. Without Him we can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says that we can do all things through Christ. Without Him, not a whole lot's going to happen. Through Him, everything can happen. Praise the Lord for that. Protection from the enemy. Productivity in ministry. Lastly, letter C. Paul asked for providential guidance. Providential guidance. Look at verse 32, please. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. Paul knew what he wanted. He wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to experience the refreshing joy of Christian fellowship and camaraderie. But notice what he wanted more than that. And it ought to be our prayers. We mentioned it even earlier. He wanted God's will to be done. Right there it says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. Providential guidance. We have a plan every day of our life, a little bit. We think, we know we're going to go here, we're going to go there. Jose is going to go to work tomorrow, starting a new job, praise the Lord. But even something like that, he has no idea what's ahead of him in the sense of new co-workers, new boss, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a praise, but it's also a prayer request. And whether we know people or we don't know people that we're going to be going and coming across their path every day, God, please, would you guide me today? I want your will to be done. And Paul is saying, please, if you're going to pray for anything, thirdly, pray that God's will would be done in my life, that I would have God's guidance in my life. Again, we can strategize all we want, but God's providence is greater than my strategy. God's provision and God's leading is way better than my strategy. James chapter 4, James chapter 4, let's turn there quickly. James 4, verse 13. James 4:13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. This individual has his whole year planned out. Now, hey, I'm a planner. I like to plan. I've got my 2022 calendar. I printed it probably, 4 months ago. I like to plan. I have several things on there. And praying about them and so forth. But James is saying, here's a guy that plans out a whole year of his life. But he forgets something, in a sense. Verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Look, you've got a whole year planned, but what about tomorrow? What about Monday morning? Oh, Monday morning. That's a sour subject, isn't it? I like Monday morning. Here we go, Monday. School week, work week, whatever you want to call it. It's Monday. He says, what about tomorrow? 1 year, how about tomorrow? It is even a vapor. For what is your life? It's a vapor. Boom, there it is. Even 95 years, God says, it's a vapor. Even Methuselah, can you imagine that? Here's 95-year-old grandma. That's only a tenth of Methuselah's life. 969 years the guy lived. What is your life, Methuselah? You know, it was a really long vapor, but it was still a vapor. I can't wait to talk to some of these, you know, heroes of the faith from the Old Testament lived all those years. Goodness sakes. No, it's a vapor. It appears and it's gone. It's a little time. Verse 4, for that ye ought to say, if, here's what you ought to say. In other words, instead of the guy that says, I'm going down to, you know, such and such a city, and I'm going to be there for a year, and I'm going to sell and buy and sell, he says, what you ought to do is you ought to say, if the Lord will, I will live, and I'll do this or that. So instead of, you know, for the next year, I'm going to be doing this, instead we ought to be praying, God, whatever you have for me, if you let me live tomorrow, I want to do it. And then the next day, God, if you let me live tomorrow, to wake up tomorrow, I want to do your will tomorrow. I don't think that means just toss out your calendar and don't be organized, but I think it means let's not put so much into a year from now that we miss what God wants to show us in our life today. And Paul says, pray for me about this, that my life would be guided providentially. So tonight, what does your prayer life look like? What does our prayer life look like? Are we praying for God's hand of blessing and provision? Are we praying for our family members? Are we praying for our church family members? One of the greatest things, if not the greatest thing we can do for someone, is to fervently pray for them. You can give someone a lot of things that are temporal. Nothing wrong with that. Prayer is eternal work. It's hard work, but it's a blessed work. Because why? We're working together, remember, with God. We're working together with who we're praying with, and we're working together with who we're praying for. Thank God that He allows us to call Him Father. And to come into His presence. Truly a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we have one more thing to do before we dismiss. I trust that as I pray here, you will join with me in praying in your seat. However, God has maybe challenged or spoke to you specifically tonight about something. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. And your teaching us from your word about this very important subject of prayer. As we learn how the Apostle Paul had asked the church at Rome to pray for him, I pray that it would not be just information about something in the past, but it would be divinely inspired because it's your word, and that it would challenge us in our prayer life today. That our prayer life would be revived if it needs to be, and that our prayer life would be fervent. That God, we would seek your will in our prayer life. We just thank you so much for the meeting tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.